This is the Fancy Ramen Podcast, Omake, and...
Omake!
Yeah, it's about time for that return, eh? I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
And I'm Scott.
Have the two of you been watching shows actively?
This entire season.
Not... Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I've been watching shows, but I haven't actually kept up with this season very well. I got halfway through Gamers.
And that's maybe as far as you need to go in Gamers.
Well, that's good, because I'm already there then. I'm done with that task.
I don't want to say that there was not good anime, because there were some good series going on that I just didn't happen to watch, or I'm not going to necessarily talk about, because there were some other dumpster fires happening.
Acceptable. I think this season was very, besides Gamers, just kind of straight. So there weren't like a lot of crazy plot twists, sans Classroom of the Elite. No mysteries, really. Everything was just kind of cut and dry. What you see is what you get.
And so it goes without saying that there are going to be spoilers for everything here.
Everything.
But you're right. There was a lot of shows that I felt just were like promising at first and then just went downhill, or the endings were so inconclusive that it maybe felt unnecessary to watch the show to begin with. Like Koito Uso or Love to Lies, the anime that could have been about natural love beating science love or scientifically determined pairings, ultimately ends up in a harem ending with the two female protagonists or heroines wearing wedding dresses as they invite the main character up to pose with them in like this photo shoot.
Por que los dos? Why not both?
Why not both?
I still feel like they could have had this home run twist. Granted, this wouldn't have been with the manga, apparently, but not having known the source material that much, where they have a gay character and had the gay pairing shown up, that would have been like the ultimate fuck you to prearranged marriages.
Oh, this was that anime that you were talking about at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and I don't know if I can necessarily recommend it all that much at this point.
Makes sense. Like only two wives at the end? Get on my level. Get on Stuck in Another World with My Cell Phone's level. Sorry, I'm just skipping ahead.
No, go ahead, elaborate. But that's a good segue.
So this one was, it had the charm of, you know, going into another world, fantasy with magic and stuff, but this guy got blessed with God, just straight God, basically, and it ends up with him being betrothed to a princess at the very beginning-ish of the season, and then all of the girls in this world that he get trapped in, you don't have to have one wife. You can have as many as you want. So by the last two episodes, he was engaged to all five of his companions. But someone hinted at the very end that he was actually supposed to end up with nine wives, not just five. And they were all credits.
He got cheated on his harem output.
Yep. So there were four characters that we got to see that we haven't seen yet. So season two, the waifu hunt begins, part two.
What a dumb way to continue a series. You hadn't caught them all yet. You got to keep going.
The Pokemon of waifus. Is that what you're insinuating?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
He's got to go to the Johto region next.
Who knew that it was going to be a collection game? Like, oh, God.
I sure didn't. Actually, funny that you mentioned the Pokemon reference, because he's also pretty much capturing spirits. So he's got the white monarch, who is a little tiger that he named Kohaku, meaning white tiger. And I forget what the other monarch is he got, because you can summon things, and he's summoning the most powerful things. And the other one's like a being that controls all water. It's a snake tied to a turtle. And I believe he aptly named them like snake and turtle in Japanese.
Wait, a snake tied to a turtle. That I know that's a persona in Persona 5.
Yeah, that's
it's named
thing.
That. Yeah, it's that thing. Basically. So he's literally capturing... He captured two actual Pokemon and five waifus this season. One waifu he met with... She was wearing no pants. And she was just like, hey, you're my master now because you told me to put on pants. So he played the straight man the entire time. Yep. stuck in another world with my cell phone.
If only it actually worked that way. I actually have, I'll keep it super short, but I have a very funny story of being downtown in Omaha on a date one day. Well, a double date. And I got to witness hearing, ma'am, please put on your pants from a police like bullhorn, because they were trying to arrest a woman who had no pants on and she was just like raging out in the street.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so she ultimately got put in the cop car, and one of the people on the date, her dad was a police officer, and she's like, this is one of the reasons I never sit in the back seat. You never want to do that.
Makes sense. I'll take that to heart whenever getting into a police car. I'm like, I know you're arresting me, but can I sit in the front?
Yeah, can I? Dibs on shotgun.
And are just drunk, please and thank you. So besides that, I just want to hit Knights and Magic really fast. Giant robot anime about giant robots, kid building giant robots and magic. Ended with him fighting a dragon. Robot. Giant robot. It's all about aesthetics. It's coming.
I mean, that's
down.
A good way to bring it together.
Yeah, it's just the battle of aesthetics between these two robot inventors. One guy's like, more firepower. Plus, I built a dragon. And the main character's like, you can't fight a giant robot with a dragon giant robot. Only giant robots are supposed to fight giant robots. We don't want an arms race here. Giant robot, fight! And then it ended with the main bad guy saying, who am I going to sell my inventions to next? And the main character being like, was that the main bad guy slowly floating away on that flying ship that I can easily catch up to on my giant robot? Must have been nothing. Roll credits.
So, we both watched Gamers, and it sounds like you might have enjoyed Gamers a little more than me, because I maybe felt like the show took a downturn on the second to last episode, which was ultimately the end of the actual plot.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I won't let two episodes ruin an anime for me.
And you're right. But I guess I'm not letting it, like, ruin my entire enjoyment, but it's a sour way to end your show when your fireworks display scene, which like cements all of the characters' feelings for each other with, you know, with no confusion at that point, and it's a fucking firework display, it should be well animated, and it turns out to be basically the worst animated scene in the entire series. And better yet, it's apparently so they can save money on their final episode, which is just horribly drawn fan service hot springs with even more bait for Aguri and Amino, which Aguri is like the girl that's actually in love with Amino's friend, the guy that more or less orchestrates the entire nonsense that is this anime. The only positive to it is that the last episode is entirely just a DLC hate fest joke, which I found kind of amusing, although even at the end, Amino, the main character, continues to justify that DLC is good, even if he kind of fails to do so. I think they're really focusing on DLC as like appearance DLC too, for the most part, not so much content.
Well, what's her name wanted a hard mode?
Oh yeah, Tendo-sum, Sama, Sun, whatever.
But besides that, yeah, it kind of... I think the thing that brought Aguri over to Amino's side, his like last little thing, was more her just, okay, you people are going to be you people. I accept you and your DLC.
Which I wouldn't buy any Gamers DLC at this point.
I would not either, actually. But I did like some of the references to DLC and what it like the similes that they were making. I like some of those.
There was like a couple hits on Final Fantasy 15 for quote unquote not finishing the story and forcing you to buy it. So I was like, oh, that's timely. I guess it makes sense since these novels were being written at the same time or similar. I guess this is probably not even in the novel, but this anime was obviously produced after Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
But the whole like animation dip, because, all right, like, Not trying to be too that weird guy with his conversation, but the blatantly obvious fan service of scantily clothed or actually naked besides hairstyles, the art there just wasn't very good either. It wasn't very detailed, so I don't understand who was enjoying this at all.
Well, did they have their obligatory beach/pool episode before this?
Did they?
I don't think they did. And you've got to have... Oh, wait. No, they did.
Yeah, they did.
They did have their obligatory, oh, this is the episode where everyone goes to the pool/the beach.
Yeah, just like fucking... what was that classroom anime we saw where people kept dying and there's an...
There needed to High School of the Dead?
Not High School of the Dead. The one with the extra seat, or there needing to be an extra desk.
Oh, yeah. What's his name died? Another, yeah.
Even Another had a freaking obligatory beach scene. It's like a bad joke in and of itself at this point.
It's like, I hope to see an anime that doesn't have a... Actually, I don't hope to see an anime that doesn't have an obligatory beach scene. Digimon had the obligatory beach scene.
There's a new Digimon anime this season, and I'm surprised it's still the same Digimon cast. Maybe not like same cast as in voice actors, but like it's all the same original characters. It's characters. Crazy.
So yeah, so I liked the first season of Digimon Try. That's when they kind of brought everybody back. I did not keep up with the second season, but they're coming out with third? Yay!
Yeah, I watched one episode just to like absorb what Digimon is nowadays, and it seems to be way more serious than, you know, any typical... And it's maybe unfair for me to compare the two, because I think the level of severity and seriousness between Digimon and Pokemon has always been on polar opposites at points, but, you know, I was just kind of curious. I probably won't be watching it. So the whole crappy animation thing, though, has kind of felt like a trend, because another show that we were watching, and I think you cut off partway through, which is Cafe to Another World. I basically stopped watching it after one episode where they had two dwarves show up at the cafe. And it's not the fact that they're dwarves that got me, mind you. Like, it was actually kind of interesting leading up to that scene. But once they got into the cafe, it just suddenly felt like their budget production just went into the red, because these highly detailed or, you know, acceptable dwarves before then became like this weird amalgamation of 10 pencil lines and very similar paint colors just getting slopped onto the screen. It looked horrible.
So they didn't do that like as a joke like FLCL does it?
No, or like Gintama for that matter. No, it was just, oh my gosh, we are losing our budget. And it started to occur to me as I watched more and more. I watched the last episode and one episode in between just to kind of see what was going on and if the story ever got serious. And it occurred to me how often they would do close-up shots of each character that was used from another episode. And also just used multiple times that were like, oh, you know, we just need to have this generic shot of the demon girl character here. And we need to have a generic shot of the chef behind the counter there. And so we can use those shots interspersedly at different points in the episode when we don't want to actually draw a specific scene, which that kind of defeats the whole purpose, or not the whole purpose, but that defeats one of the big bonuses of a, we'll say like a media form that is not based in reality, like as opposed to TV, because you can set up your scenes and shots in ways that you would never be able to or could never do in real life. You don't have to worry about bad lighting. You don't have to worry about like a room being too small or a ceiling being too low. You can set up any shot you want in this drawn form, and yet you choose to do these close-ups with drab backgrounds that you like are reverting back to just so you can get through things. It also made me like aware of how often animes will cut to static pictures or like panning shots of scenery or an object, having characters talk so they don't have to animate mouths or animate the characters as well. Mm-hmm. And it can be done really well and or perfectly acceptably. But this show was doing all of those things maybe too much or in ways that it became hyper evident to me. Now, speaking about, you know, shows that we may or may not have expected to have swimsuit or beach scenes, Classroom of the Elite, which I was kind of on the fence on the whole time. I guess I was enjoying it for the most part, but that ending was
the Ocean's 11 ending
pretty fantastic. Oh, it wasn't even Ocean's it's Ocean's 11 along with the reveal of the protagonist. So Scott, I don't think you've been watching this anime. Do you mind if I spoil it some? So this show basically follows an elite high school where if you graduate from this high school, you're guaranteed, you know, a position.
Everything.
Yeah. You're
just
gonna
everything.
You're gonna have a good life. The main character, who's this really nonchalant, aloof guy that doesn't seem to care about anything, gets into the worst classroom and or the worst class. And so there are four classes each year, and the classes are evaluated best to worst based on letter grades A, B, C, and D. So he's in class.
He's stuck in remedial math.
More or less, yeah.
More or less,
but
yeah.
The way that you gain ranks is by points, which also determines how much money you can use on this all-encompassing enclosed campus. So there's no outside contact to the world. You're stuck inside of this basically university-style campus, although it's high school.
It's kind of like Disney World. When you go to Disney World, how it feels like you're just in an entire country.
Okay.
Bigger than just like a college campus, basically is what I'm getting at. But yeah, and you can buy anything with points. Anything.
Over the course of this show, the main character is very aloof and just doing the bare minimum to make sure that his class doesn't just completely get screwed over. But it like as a viewer, I saw it more as him trying not to stand out and trying to make sure that his life wasn't inconvenienced too much by any losses that his class would have.
That's how I saw it too, Neil.
And that is totally the implied way, it seems like. But during the last segment, the last story arc, they basically have to spend a week or 2 weeks on an island. I think it's 1 week. And
1 week.
Each of the four classes have to like take part in this weird, elaborate survival game, if you will. There's no violence between classes, but it's all about like point collecting and shit. And not getting into the specifics there, but the main character pulls off some Ocean's 11 nonsense, which is awesome and very very, very satisfying. And
I was gonna say, and sorry to cut you off, but the very end when you finally get to see his motives and he becomes more of an antagonist than a protagonist.
Oh, hold on. Before we get there, like even setting the stage for that scene, you even have the quote unquote main waifu, which is the tsundere girl that's very, very closed, or not closed, but very
one track minded,
yeah.
Needs to get this job done. Doesn't care who she has to step on.
She wants to win, and she does not have a second face. So she's always very serious, very upfront, and so forth. And through the course of the Ocean's 11 tomfoolery, the main character also basically gets her to open up and accept the idea of getting help from her other classmates and being like a more positive person. So at the very last scene, as he's explaining this, she starts like kind of getting a little bubbly and talking about, well, you know, like, maybe it'd be okay if it's you, blah, 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 in very, very typical tsundere, dare phase fashion, right?
Right.
And her voice just slowly gets drowned out or, like, dipped out of the mix as he starts thinking to himself that basically it doesn't matter what you think or what you're telling me as long as I win.
Yeah, he starts bad guy monologuing in his head, and it's just amazeballs.
Yeah.
He's just like, people are just tools. And then it goes back to one of his memories of this little girl dying in front of him, basically. And he's just like staring at her coldly.
Holy
yeah,
he
basically says that, like, everyone's just tools to him. As long as he wins, everything's fine. It's such a great twist, because before then, he kept setting up other people for success. Like, he would do something that was quote-unquote brilliant to save the day, and then he would tell someone else that, oh, it was this person that did it. And again, just to further the thought that he just doesn't want to bring attention to him, but in the long run, he's doing that so he can protect himself and, you know, keep his cards closer to his hand, or to himself, so to speak.
So yeah, so everybody thinks he's this one-tracked, you know, middle-of-the-road guy. Everyone kind of knows that he's setting things up because he seems to be like the second man to all the stuff that's happening. Mm-hmm. But he's also just very, yeah, you can have friends. I'll just be here. I'll just show up when I'm needed type of attitude. And then, bam, very end, just full-on Ocean's 11. They do, like, so, actually, I'll call him Ocean's 12 of how complex it was, because Class C had an Ocean's 11 deal going on.
Yeah, that's what made it great.
So, like, one of the classes was doing their own little thing. They had, like, the last episode was just a bunch of flashbacks. It was like, Class C's flashback to day one. We made this deal, this deal, this deal, and got this done, and we betrayed these people, and we did all this. And then all of a sudden they got 0 points, and then he started doing his flashback, and you were just like, oh, my God, it's still going. He had it all planned out, even from the very beginning. How did he know she was going to get sick?
So he knew that because she was in her room when they were out on the deck looking at the islands.
I remember this now.
Because it was made very obvious that it was important to be looking at the island because something's going to happen at the island. So you may as well take some time to, you know, look at the layout. And her absence apparently was the dead giveaway to him that something's up.
I may still watch this even knowing that there's that twist at the end because it sounds awesome.
Well, if you do, also know that the light novels apparently are much better. I read the first volume, and it's not far enough to say that, like, I'm having a better time reading than I am watching it. But the concerning thing I have is that the anime changed the story so much, and basically a lot of the events that happen with I think it's Horikita, which is the tsundere girl. Are actually split between 3 or 4 different characters in the light novel. Like the girl from Class B, that everyone seems to like, and she for some reason has a shit ton of points that don't really know why she does. She shows up in the light novels within like the first, I guess I'm reading an electronic version or like, well, a paste bin of it. So I don't know how many pages in, but it feels like within like the first couple chapters, she's already there, and she seems to play a much bigger role too.
In the anime, you're saying she plays a bigger role in the anime than she does.
A bigger role in the light novels than she does in the anime. So, okay. Really,
I thought you were saying she was being attributed more from the characters in the light novel the anime.
In a way, it feels weird because sometimes they just throw her in for whatever reason, but reading the light novels, it occurs to me that they're trying to give some importance to her, even though a lot of what her role is has basically been given to another person. Like, the black-haired tsundere girl is more or less the main character's co-conspirator this entire time. Man, I feel bad for not remembering these names. The one concerning thing is that I doubt that there's going to be a second season because of how much it strays from the original source material. I hope they prove me wrong because I'm actually enjoying I enjoyed the anime a lot.
That ending, yo.
Yeah, it was super good. Super justifying.
I mean, it would be really cool if you got to enjoy an anime and a light novel that had the same start point but diverged down two different story paths and they were both good.
Like, you mean just like Full Metal Alchemist?
Was there a good second story arc for Full Metal Alchemist?
I guess that's just the joke because I thought the anime was okay at the time, the original anime, and then like revisiting it years after, everyone says that the original is not worth watching and you should just watch Brotherhood, which is the more faithful adaptation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my preference is actually just to read the manga, because it's faster.
It is?
I think so, yeah. Oh, yeah, I breeze through it. Like, there's not that much detailed art at any point in time in the manga, and I think it's easier to read the dialogue as opposed to listen to the characters say it. I feel like you really don't miss very much between the manga and the anime, and there's not enough, like, action to warrant the need for animation. So, like, if you're interested in the story, I just read the manga, and I think you can burn through it faster in watching 52-something episodes.
That makes sense. I find for Full Metal, there's a time and place for each of them, for Brotherhood and for original. I like them both.
Does the little girl die in both of them and get turned into a chimera? Spoilers.
Yep. Yep. Yes. Great. I believe so. Does that happen to her in Brotherhood?
It happens to her in Brotherhood, yeah.
Then yeah, she does in both of them.
That was the moment where I was like, I am not going to be happy. Or I don't mean happy as in not enjoy it, but like, I have a feeling this story is going to end badly no matter what.
When they kill the little girl, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it did get pretty real pretty quick.
Yup.
I'll also just quickly say that I have been keeping up with ballroom dancing, whatever the hell that actual name is called.
Here, I thought you were talking about you started ballroom dancing without telling anybody.
Fuck nah, that. Neil's been square dancing.
So, my surprise is that I'm really enjoying this anime, even though I think that competitive ballroom dancing is kind of stupid. And for that matter, any sport that has your artwork being, like your performance being evaluated based on artistic integrity. Because I know part of it is the technicality, and then the other part is your interpretation of the dance and so forth, like the feel, the mood, the emotion. If that element was taken out, I would be a lot more, I guess, friendly with the idea of competitive art, if that makes sense. Like, if it's based upon the technicality of the dance solely and not the actual art form. And whether or not that's actually truly the case, I'm not sure, because I'm only basing it off of my knowledge of this anime. But the anime is actually really likable. The characters are all pretty multidimensional for the most part. And it also doesn't feel like they're just ham-fisting romance into the show. There's a little bit of like implied romantic tension, but for the most part, it's a story about a bunch of different characters that want to get better at what they're doing, and in particular the main character, who is more or less just like this not really outcast but like anti-social kind of wimp, gain confidence through a sport or an act that isn't necessarily manly to begin with. And I don't know, I really, really appreciate his character development as the story's gone on further, and specifically the development of relationships, like friendships and rivalries between characters.
Wait, are you talking about a ballroom dancing anime, or are you talking about Cheer Boys, the male cheerleading anime?
Ballroom dancing anime, but it's funny that you bring not specifically that anime up, but any other anime, because my enjoyment of this, and I also started reading the manga just for this reason too, which, and similar to Full Metal Alchemist, goes a lot faster and it's a lot more enjoyable because I can kind of just skim past the dancing parts that, like, you know, I don't really have to watch the dance. I just want to know what people are thinking and saying during the dance, right? This kind of inspired me to start watching Yuri on Ice. I'm enjoying it a lot so far, although I will say that on the whole trend of having shitty animation, I think that anime does not look that great.
It happens that way sometimes.
Like, there are points in time. You have a 2D like format. So in order to invoke a sense of three-dimensional space and positioning, you need to do that through shading or other things. But like, not only does Yuri on Ice recycle a lot of their animations, like a lot, a ridiculous amount.
Well, they've got to.
Well, and that's understandable, but you typically recycle those animations so you can do them well. And then there are just so many freaking times where I just see a set series of frames that look horrible. And I'm thinking to myself, we're like 6 episodes in. Couldn't they just redraw this?
No, it's not about that. They're just really, depending on where you're at, they're just really bad figure skaters.
Oh, and it's not
you're
even
just
that
watching
so much.
Them practice.
It's like, okay, so if you're looking at me front, like head on, and I bend my arm up, kind of like I'm, you know, like not to get into character, like, but bringing up all the love and emotion in the world to my chest, halfway where my arms are at, making a 90-degree angle from like the forearm and bicep, I guess. In order to shade that properly so it doesn't look like I just had a deformed arm suddenly appear, like you just need to add shade to the reverse elbow or the back of your elbow and a few other things, right? And maybe like darken the shading as it goes closer to your torso compared to the front of your arm. But they don't make any attempts. So it just looks like at points in time and in certain frames, the characters are deformed when they're normally not deformed.
It's a lot easier to dance when your arm's a noodle, Neil.
Anyway.
Yeah. Let's actually get on to the real show, shall we?
The real show. Okay.
Should we stop recording and then re-record?
No, I'll make the cut. Okay.
We'll just split right through it. I'm at like the 30-ish minute mark, so...
I'm at 36. So, you know, it's whatevs.
Oh, nice. I guess say instead, that does it for this Omake. Thank you very much for listening.
And if you want to talk anime, more anime with us, don't hesitate to email us or write questions and comments at podcast@fancyramen.com.
And please tell your friends about our horrible anime commentary. Someone's got to listen.
It comes by once a year.
I promise. We like anime.
It's just, yeah, this season wasn't so great. I mean, I'm just glad that I didn't commit too much time into it. Hearing your guys' opinion, I feel like I didn't miss out on too much.
There were some good shows. We just weren't talking about them this go around.
That's what you need to put at the very beginning of the episode. There were some good shows. We didn't talk about any of it.
There is a dog barking in my house now.
That's cool. Well, the show never stops.